It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It is the Baseball Reporters. We'll be here up until 7 o'clock. And I imagine, I'm Marshall Hook, by the way, that's Tim McCone. And I imagine, Tim, that there are probably some days over the course of a 162-game season with off days and the All-Star break and all of that, that I imagine there's some days it might be difficult for Tony Maz or whoever is hosting to sit down here and say, what are we going to talk about when it comes to the Red Sox and baseball today? As it turns out, today is not one of those days.
Right?
Today is a day that it's pretty easy to take a look at this team and decide what we're going to talk about, at least to start, and that would be, well, the bullpen. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. You can join us in the conversation as well. They were, in the end, there are a lot of times that we sitting in these seats will take a look at sports teams and criticize them. We did it all day long with the Celtics. We did it for part of the day about the Patriots and a little bit with the Red Sox. And a lot of times, that can be unfair. It's Felger about Kyrie Irving. They never should have made the trade. Well, you didn't know that at the time. This is not one of those things. There is nobody, except perhaps Dave Dombrowski, who did not see this as a problem coming into the season. And what I'm referring is the fundamental total lack of a closer of any sort. All due respect to Matt Barnes, though he doesn't deserve it. He is not a closer, never has been, and neither is anyone on this team. Tyler Thornburg was, but he's gone. Carson Smith was once, briefly. He's not there. The guys who are in this bullpen that we went through earlier today, none of them have been closers. And again, it's not as though there was a lack of options in front of the Red Sox when this offseason started. They obviously start with Craig Kimbrell, the guy that they already had. They offered him the qualifying offer, $17.9 million. Now, they probably did that knowing that he wasn't going to accept it, but they also did it with the possibility, with the chance that he might have taken it. So at some level, at some point, they were willing to spend $17.9 million on a closer, that closer being Craig Kimbrell. That person turned it down. Craig Kimbrell didn't. He now belongs to the Cubs. But after that point, they made zero effort to get anybody with closing experience. They have nobody in the minor leagues who was a prospect ready to do it at the major league level. And again, I just did a quick look down the free agents, people in Major League Baseball who had closing experience. And I know that Allen, bless his dear heart, doesn't love Sergio Romo. And I will admit, I said he had a 3 ERA. He's got an ERA in the 4s. He's not great, but he's better than Matt Barnes. He's got 14 saves, 1 year, $2.5 million. Joaquin Soria, 2 years, $15 million. Sean Kelly, 1 year, $2.5 million. He, by the way, pitching to a 2.89 ERA as the closer right now for the Texas Rangers. He's got 10 saves. Greg Holland, all sorts of closing experience. 1 year, $3.5 million. He's got 11 saves. Zach Britton signed with the Yankees, 2.43 ERA. Adam Ottavino signed with the Yankees, 1.51 ERA. The Yankees had no problem signing closers all over the place, even though they already had one. They did the opposite of Dave Dombrowski. They went ahead and instead of signing no closers and trying to put a middle reliever as your last guy out of the bullpen, they signed all closers and are using them all over the place, and they're doing it very successfully. So I don't see this as some sort of second guess that's unfair. We all saw this coming. We talked about it last year. They had a closer then, but they had a problem with the rest of the bullpen. And then when it came to this year, and they signed nobody. Jordan Walden, again, is the guy that they brought in. He is not a closer. That was the only addition that they made to the bullpen. And you know what it's resulted in? 16 blown saves, second most in all of Major League Baseball, tied with Pittsburgh, behind only the Mets, by the way, if there's a team that you're not shocked. And they, by the way, traded for a closer and signed another one, and they're still in that position, though the guy they traded for is not the reason why. But regardless, they signed nobody. They traded for nobody. And I don't think they could have traded for anyone. Do I think Dave Dombrowski would have liked to have Iglesias from Cincinnati? Sure. But they've got nothing left to trade for. So what we're left with at this point is a bullpen with no closer, 16 blown saves, eight losses in games that they led after seven innings. And I put this all squarely on Dave Dombrowski. And even as they, you know, dabbled in maybe, they didn't even dabble in looking at Craig Kimbrel well after he was inside. They were very firm and they weren't interested in bringing him back. So their only option now is to trade for somebody. But again, we circle back to what do they have to trade and who's available. I don't know that there's an answer to this right now, Tim McCone. I don't know that there's anything out there that they can do. Their opportunity was in the offseason to sign somebody, and they didn't do it. What are they going to do now? I have virtually no idea.
No, look, I mean, the sample size is big enough at this point, too, to know that you have a major issue in the bullpen, and it's not just going to correct itself internally. I mean, like, Jimmy brought these stats in, and I, like, audibly gasped when I saw the amount of blown saves and where they are and this stuff. So you're right. You have a team still, and I know they're nine games back right now, but from a talent perspective, is good enough to compete in the postseason. You just need to actually go out and make some moves for this bullpen. What those moves are at this point, I'm not necessarily sure, because you're right. Dombrowski should have realized in the offseason that moves needed to be made to kind of clear this thing up and get the bullpen pointed in the right direction. And now he's got some work to do because, you know, some moves have to come down. I'm not necessarily sure that there are fantastic options there, but something has to give.
I mean, and the problem is, you know, as we go back to the beginning of this season, before they re-signed all these guys, one of the reasons I was advocating maybe trading some big names was to replenish their farm system. Because I don't know who the closers out there that would be available, but there are always teams out there interested in acquiring closers. So that immediately puts you into a competition to acquire whoever that arm is. And I don't know that the Red Sox beat anybody in a competition. The way we talk about the Celtics and how they had more assets than anybody and they could trade for anybody, the opposite is true of the Red Sox in that I don't think they have any assets. They don't have any assets of real worth at this point. Like, Michael Chavis was one of those guys, and now he's a vital part of their major league roster.
No, totally fair. And you have no assets anymore because you've built for this, you know, 2 to 3 year window that you probably have left with the guys that are on your roster, which makes it more absurd that you went into this year with the bullpen that you do, right? Like, now is the time to go out and try to win World Series championships. And right now you don't have a bullpen that's capable of doing that.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Al in Boston, welcome to 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, hey guys. I just came from a Red Sox game and it was an exciting game. In the eighth inning, Bogaerts really stepped up and hit a clutch two-run single, as you probably know.
Yes, we do know. And part of the sadness, I think, of the ultimate loss is that we're not talking about Xander Bogaerts. And Xander Bogaerts, who I think since last August leads the American League in RBI. We're not talking about that because Matt Barnes blew it.
Right. So then Barnes comes in, and I said, well, at least it's not Kimbrel. And, you know, Abreu, I think he had like a 12-pitch at bat. He just kept hanging in there, and I think the catcher dropped it for strike three, and so he got a new life. I said, oh, no. And, of course, he hits a rocket out, and that was it.
I mean, the problem ultimately, Al, and thanks for the call, is, I don't understand, oh, no, it's not Kimbrel. Like, I get that Kimbrel was not great in the postseason, and I get that he became a little bit worrisome, perhaps even at the end of the season. And I'm not saying that you needed to sign him. Far from it. I was somebody who advocated for not signing him after the season, not because I don't think he would have been a good person to bring back. It would have been, you can't bring him back at the money he was looking for. You remember he went into the offseason with an initial ask of 6 years and $100 million, which was absurd. And so at that point, I don't think the Red Sox really engaged on it at any level. So I'm not saying you needed to bring back him, but you needed to bring back somebody. You needed
somebody
to bring in somebody.
Nice. Yeah.
Any of these guys. I mean, again, Zach Britton, David Phelps, Greg Holland, Kelvin Herrera, and nine other guys, all with closing experience. Yes, some of them have sucked. And if they had signed, you know, Jurys Familia, who is pitching very poorly for the Mets, then I would say, well, at least you tried, right? At least you went out there and you went and you got a closer, and it didn't work out. They didn't even try. And that, to me, is the biggest problem. If you try and fail, and this sounds like I'm talking to my kids at this point, if you try and fail, at least you tried. Dombrowski didn't try at all. John in Marshfield, welcome.
Hey, fellas. Just a quick comment and then also a question. One, in regards to, like, just the development of pitching as a whole, I feel like over time they haven't developed a starter in a while, and they've also done a poor job of bringing guys like Thornburg and Smith along as well. So I just think that's kind of part of their problem, too, is they haven't been able to develop anyone through the system. One thing I'd like to ask you guys is, do you think there's any chance that we see Feltman or any of those kids down in the minors, or also if there's a chance of bringing in, like, a Brad Ziegler type or something like that? I'll hang up and let you guys discuss.
Well, there we go. John, thank you for the call. Yeah, my problem is I don't think their answer is going to be in the minor leagues. Like, if there was, and I made reference earlier to John Papelbon, who didn't even come up as a closer, but if there was a guy like that down there, I would say, you know what, fine. Give it a try, see how it goes, see what happens. But the closers, taking them from the minor leagues and putting them directly into the major leagues, I don't think happens all that often. But the bigger point is they don't have anybody down there. It's not like there's somebody sitting down there who's just ready to go. They signed Henry Mejia, a former closer for the Mets. He's pitching in the minor leagues at AAA to a 6-plus ERA, so that possible option is gone. There's nobody down there. And who's available in trade? I don't know. What would they have to give up to get him? I don't think they have it. And so ultimately, I see all of this as the answer was in the offseason. The answer was with what the Red Sox have plenty of, which isn't prospects, which isn't the ability to trade for established guys, but is money. And there were plenty of guys that they could have given that money to, and at least half of those people on my list are people who, by the way, are pitching reasonably well. Not all of them in closer roles, but pitching well. And if they had gotten one of them, even one of them, we'd be looking at a completely different situation right now. Completely different situation. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Steve and John, I see you on the line. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back with more. 98.5, the Sports Hub Baseball Reporters.
The Baseball Reporters. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's 98.5, the Sports Hub. Baseball Reporters. Tony is off tonight. You've got me, Marshall Hook, along with Tim McCone, and we've got a Red Sox team that lost today and lost in ugly fashion. It started out looking like they were going to win in impressive fashion. Xander Bogaerts, who's been awesome for the better part of 2 months of last season and 3 months of this one, came, had the go-ahead hit, a big clutch. I know I'm not supposed to use that word. Two-run single, put them up by a run, but then Matt Barnes comes in and blows it. And that amounted to an eighth loss for the Red Sox this season after leading after seven innings and a 15th blown save, tied with the Pittsburgh Pirates behind just the New York Mets for the most in all of Major League Baseball. And we're talking about it. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. John in Melrose, what's going on?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm all right. What's up?
Well, I'm a little concerned, as egregious as it is that we don't have a closer. You know, what you would want in the bottom of the ninth down a run would be to have your leadoff runner get on first base, which we had. Arguably, probably the best base stealer, if you will. I might be wrong, but how does he die at first base? That bothers me not as much as not having a closer, but it bothers me nonetheless. And, I mean, any other team would have stolen second, tried to steal second. And if Jackie Bradley Jr. gets picked off, I'm okay with that because, at least in my mind, we were doing the right thing to get a guy in scoring position, right? And then a bunt or whatever it is gets him over to third, and then a balk, a pass ball, a base hit, or a deep fly ball gets that run in. I don't understand why that escapes. Reminds me of John Farrell, but I'm not going to compare Farrell to Cora. But it reminds me, like, he cost us many games that way, meaning Farrell. But, I mean, I like Cora. But you guys are the experts. Why does that not happen, in my mind, as it should?
Okay.
And I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you guys.
All right, John, thank you for the call. Small ball is the question, Tim McCone. He wants the Red Sox to play a little more of it. I don't think that's ever been a Red Sox trait or even that much of an American League trait. When you have a team like the Red Sox do that's built with sluggers as the Red Sox are, you've got JD Martinez in there, Xander Bogaerts, perhaps, not a 100% slugger, but certainly not a speedy, base stealing kind of thing. I just don't think that's their game. I also know that in the Moneyball era, which we are still more or less, Moneyballers hate the stolen base. They think it's a bad thing that should never happen. And I don't know that this is a stolen base kind of team. So I'm not going to fault Alex Cora for that. Are you, Tim?
No, look, I know Mookie hasn't had the year that he had last year, obviously, and some guys have struggled a little bit here, but I think Devers has been fantastic. Bogaerts has been great. The lineup, for me, isn't the concern. Ultimately, I think it comes down to the bullpen, because you talked about it. All those saves that have been blown and those losses that have become are because of the bullpen totally changed the outlook of this season, right? I mean, if those are converted saves and we're talking about wins for the Red Sox, we're looking at this team in a completely different way than what we are right now.
And in fact, if even half of them were.
Yeah, right?
Just half
of them. Totally changes this whole thing. That's why I think ultimately I wouldn't sell like the Pete Abar article says, because I think you're still close. You have fixable issues in the bullpen, but you need to address those soon. Because you're 9 back of the Yankees right now in the AL East. Like, that's substantial. So you got to make a move here, but I still think it's fixable.
All right. Steve in Shrewsbury, I think, had a good time at today's game, but not for the reason you think. Welcome, Steve.
No way. It was no fun to be there today, man. We had some fun. I mean, we're sitting up at the bar having a good time, but watching that team play, I mean, to come from behind and then watch them give it up again, I mean, it was nothing but a joke.
Okay.
The highlight of my day, though, was when I was leaving at the elevator, I met Bruce Cassidy and his young child. And I'll tell you what, that was a good time.
All right. Well, see, there you go. That's what I'm saying. So Stephen Shrewsbury had an okay time at the game because he met Bruce Cassidy on the way out. I don't know how that really fits into the entire fabric of this particular conversation, but it's good to know that somebody came out of the friendly confines at Fenway along with Bruce Cassidy, who really that's what he's got to do on a Wednesday afternoon. He's going to go watch the Red Sox. Well, I guess that's fine. Andrew in Medford, what's going on? Welcome to the baseball reporters.
Hi guys, the Red Sox fandom doesn't hit full swing till about the 4th of July, so I've been casual so far. But I've been thinking about this team versus the team last year, and the difference between an absolute unit that wins more than 100 games and this team isn't, you know, a C-plus closer and a utility outfielder or whoever that we lost, you know, over the course of the offseason. So basically my question to you guys is, you know, like, who's the real Red Sox? Is it the team last year or this year? It just seems so different, and, I can't really put my finger on what the difference is. And I'm kind of deferring to you guys. I'd love to hear you discuss. Thanks.
All right, Andrew. Well, I would say that the answer is somewhere in the middle, right? So they won whatever, what was the final? 106, 107 games, 108.
Yeah.
They won a massive number of games. And anyone who thought that they were going to come back this year and repeat that level of success were fooling themselves. Not even because of anything on the field. Not because they were returning everyone or weren't or had play, whatever. Teams just don't win 108 games. The Red Sox hadn't done it ever. That was the most games they'd won. And how often do they even win 100 games? It doesn't happen that often. So to think that this team was going to come back and be able to repeat their performance last year, where they basically from day two, because they lost an opening day, but basically from day two, game number two, through to the end of the World Series, they were basically a wagon. They were unstoppable. They were dominant. Everything went their way. So to expect anything close to that, I think, was foolhardy. That wasn't going to happen. But I also don't think that this team is as bad as what we have seen this far. I think the bullpen is this bad. I think their lack of a closer is this bad. But I don't think the rest of the team is this bad. Let's not forget that Chris Sale, who didn't pitch particularly well today, was absolutely horrid to start the season. First, whatever it was, four or five starts were absolutely dreadful. We had David Price on the DL for a little while. You've got, you know, Nate Eovaldi, who was somebody this team was counting on, hasn't pitched basically at all this year. You do not have exactly the team you thought you were going to have on the field, and you've got people like Mookie Betts who are underperforming. So if we expect any degree of that to get better, some of those injured guys to come back and pitch better, for Mookie Betts to define some of his form that he had last year, then you're going to think, I think, find the real team. It's going to be somewhere in the middle of what you had last year, a team that won 108 games, and this year, a team that is on pace, I think, to win, 88? Aren't we halfway through the season at this point? Or I guess we're one beyond halfway through the season. So they're on pace to win 87.5 games, as though that were possible. If you're on pace to fall just short of 90, or I believe that Jimmy did the math for us in the email string, if you erase their really kind of rough start to the season and say they play at the pace that they've been playing since whatever it is, May 1st or whatever, that gets them to 94 wins. I think that's the team that we're probably looking at. This team is the quality of about a 90-91 win team. That's what I would say this Red Sox team is. So to answer your question, it's neither of those things. It's not what they are this year. It's not what they are last year. The real answer, I think, is somewhere in the middle. Well, Tim McCone's going to tell you exactly what they were today. We're going to take a quick break. His headlines, quick commercials. We'll be back with your call, 617-779-0985. It's the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. What, you can't say Grilla-looia?
It wasn't going to happen.
Grilla-looia.
I stopped short, I admit, but no. I can't do it.
I've now said it twice. So, D'Angelo's, hook me up. I took care of you. It's the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tony Maz is off, you know, mowing his lawn with that great lawnmower. And it's me, Marshall Hook, here along with Tim McCone, talking about the Red Sox on a day in which, boy, they Red Sox things up something good. The wheel of bums is do I have it correct? That's the term. It was spun and spun hard today. Matt Barnes was the guy who came out, and he took what was just literally minutes before an exciting come from behind, looks like it was going to be a win against a bad White Sox team, and he quickly turned it into that very thing, except it was a come behind win for the White Sox against what looks to be, at least at some level, a bad Red Sox team. They're better than this. I will say that. They're better than this, but they have dug themselves a hole at this point, and a big part of the problem has been the bullpen, and that's not an easy thing to fix. I know that people like Allen in Florida think that, oh, we'll just go trade for a closer. We'll just go find somebody, but it's not that easy. You're not the only team that needs bullpen help. Really, honestly, every team is always looking for bullpen help, and therefore you would have to compete to get it. And I just think at this point you don't have what it takes to compete and win if you're going against another team that wants whatever that pitcher is as well, because your farm system is depleted and you don't have much to trade. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Chuck, who's definitely Chucky. Not Steve, is in Shrewsbury. What's going on?
Oh, Stevedy Beebedy again from Shrewsbury. What's up? I want to give a shout-out to Trixie.
All right. Well, that was not a good idea. You know, they didn't want me to take him. I said, you know what, I'll give him one more try because, you know, whatever. Clearly that didn't work out very
shout-out
well.
To Trixie.
So listen, I don't know if you recall Tim McCone. I'm going to turn a corner here, switch gears, shift, whatever you want to call it. It was just at the end of last month that in a game between the Houston Astros and another team, whatever that other team was, I don't remember, a White Sox man, I don't know, it doesn't matter, a foul ball hit a two-year-old girl in Minute Maid Park, and the video at the time had the player who hit it, who was really broken up by it, you know, kind of beside himself. And all we saw, it was against the Cubs. And it was Alvin Amora who hit that ball. And all we saw in the video was the parents look down at their kid and then just rush out of the ballpark. And we heard nothing about the status of that child or anything. Well, it turns out that child has a skull fracture, two-year-old girl, seizures, brain edema, subdural bleeding, brain contusions, something called an abnormal electroencephalogram. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't sound good. They're on medication to prevent further seizures. They have not filed any lawsuits or anything, but do have attorneys. And all of that is to say it was a really bad injury to this two-year-old child. And this brings us back to the extension of the netting, which is something that continues to get talked about in Major League Baseball. But there are countless people who rail against the idea of extending the netting probably as far as the dugouts, which would probably be how far it would have to go. And I think in a lot of ballparks, how far it has gone. And I cannot abide by people who say, oh, whatever, it's going to ruin my view of the game. People just need to pay more attention. It's ridiculous. Or in this case, probably they shouldn't have had a two-year-old at the baseball game to begin with, so it's on their fault. I'm a person who says, go ahead and extend that netting. Extend it all the way. I've watched plenty of games through netting. It doesn't really affect my enjoyment of the game. And if you're going to put your enjoyment of that game over the safety of not just kids, but adults, and they've done the test. Like, the other thing I hear all the time is, well, stop looking at your cell phone, look up and pay attention to the game. They've done the test that people can't react to a ball being hit at that speed. Are you telling me a Major League Baseball pitcher who's been hit with them, that they're not paying attention? They're not looking at their cell phone. They get hit with those balls. So I'm 100% pro net. And I've set it up so really you're a horrible person if you're not 100% pro net. So now I find out if, in fact, is Tim McCone a horrible
person? No, look, I'm a guy that likes to have a few before the game. I like to have a few during the game. And so I'm not exactly keeping the book when I go to Fenway Park, right, and locked in on every single pitch. I'm talking to people. I'm having and casually watching the game. So the nets are made for people like me who are going to have slow reaction time if they're sober, and even slower reaction time if they've had a few during the game as well. So for me, I'm all for the nets.
And the thing of it is, part of whether it's the complaint or the beauty of baseball, because some people think this is a problem with it. I happen to think it's part of baseball. It's a leisurely game to watch. I mean, part of the experience, it doesn't need to be 4 hours long. We can all agree on that. But when you go there, you do not have to watch every pitch, every one of them. You're sitting there with a buddy, theoretically. I'm not drinking beer. Most everyone else is. You're eating a hot dog. I went 3 times with my kids in the last week to Major League Baseball. Now, frankly, we were nowhere near where we would have needed netting.
Yeah, that's never going to be an issue for me, honestly.
If you follow my Twitter feed, you would know that. But even if we were, I'd like to talk to them, you know, and say, well, what do you think of that? And do you like this ballpark and that? And baseball is supposed to allow you to do that. It doesn't if you're that close and you're not behind netting, because then you're supposed to watch. And again, as they figured out, even if you're watching, you're not always able to react fast enough, and chances are you're not. So I don't know what's going to become of this. I think like half the teams in Major League Baseball at this point have extended the netting. In the case of this, again, this family hasn't yet sued the Astros, but I almost guarantee you there's going to be some form of settlement. And once again, it has baseball discussing extending the netting. And I almost guarantee you this, that the Houston Astros will do that once this season's over.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.